Rolling down the ages, there cascades a gospel shout. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. St. Matthew, the evangelist, has found his passion. His view of the church is a higher view than many of us hold today. His view of the church includes its heart in lasting forgiveness, its soul in the presence of Christ, and its mind in discerning decision-making. He has found his passion. Matthew, who gathers as he goes through these chapters, these are autumnal teachings in 2011. He gathers every bit, every scrap, every verse, every jot and tittle he can find to bring the Jewish Jesus into the Greek world. He takes that traveling teaching document, we call it Q, and uses it, including here in the second part of our gospel reading, to share the good news of joy and holiness and love. He places the portraits of his Savior and ours among the common folk with harlots and publicans and sinners, and brings us to his passion. The passion of St. Matthew the evangelist is known in this theme. Matthew is an evangelist interested in expanding the divine circle of love and in expanding the circle of faith in the community of faith, seeking and saving the lost. He has his passion. And what about you? Where does your deep gladness meet the world's great need? Where is your almost self, your calling, your vocation? Since the year 90 in Matthew's writing, he has had help along the way in expanding the circle of love in the mystic poetry of Dionysus the Areopagite, in the archaeological collections of St. Helena, in the beauty and writing of St. Teresa of Avila, in the fecundity of Susanna Wesley, in the zeal of Sojourner Truth, in the passion for compassion of Jane Addams, in the tenacity of Francis Willard, who greets us in glass this morning. Oh, some men helped as well. The same passion shook Wesley from the Anglican tree and shipped Asbury across the sea and planted the gospel in a far country and saved the likes of you and me. Is it any wonder that more than any other gospel in the next four centuries, Matthew is most often cited? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, not just your head, with all your soul, not just yourself, with all your mind, not just your brain. These ancient words have profound contemporary meaning. They shape us. They name you as a person, a child of the living God. Some of you know our 3-year-old granddaughter is sheepish around me, or was when she was 3. And I left earlier one day, and she went to her grandma and said, "Grandma, I'm looking for somebody." "Excuse me?" "I'm wondering where somebody is." Jan didn't quite get it yet, but she said, "Can you tell me where I could find somebody?" And Jan said, "You mean grandpa?" And she said, "Yes, somebody." It took a while, but I finally became somebody. And you, where is your passion? Where does your deep gladness meet the world's great need? These ancient words shape us if we will let them. Over against the demigods of time and culture, Rationality is good, especially when contrasted with irrationality. Efficiency is good, especially when contrasted with inefficiency. But these words give you your own most self. They are the gospel, the love of God, heart, soul, mind. Cardia, we can use the original forms. We can hear it, can't we? Cardiac. Cardia, the center, the seat of the inner life, the center and seat of life itself, the basis for emotion and wish and longing, but also, in one sense, kind of like the conscience. You have heart. Soul, psuche, you can hear it, psychology, psychiatrist, psyche. Life is contrasted with what lacks life. Breath, as when contrasted with what lacks breath, that which is living, and also that part of life that transcends, the heavenly part, what we either save or lose day by day. You have soul. So also mind, maybe not quite as familiar, dianoia, that word speaking of intelligence, of understanding, of knowledge, but more so of perception, apprehension, grasp, girding up the loins of the mind, says one scripture. Mind, you have mind. We might wonder why Matthew excised the last. We sing a hymn, give heart and soul and mind and strength. Mark has strength, but Matthew, 20 years later, leaves it aside. Why? Maybe, as elsewhere, he is reshaping the portrait of Jesus, diminishing just a little bit the prophetic and apocalyptic preacher, so that Matthew, for his time, can lift up the master, the teacher, the rabbi. Speaking of his changes, look what Matthew's done here with David. Why, Matthew earlier will speak of the Davidic line, but here the contrast is between the Davidic lineage and the divine one, and of course, Matthew champions the latter. Matthew may have been a Jewish Christian, but you know, to be slightly provocative, we might note that the 27 books of the New Testament are all written in Greek, Koine Greek, and all of them, arguably, including St. Matthew, may well have been written by Gentiles, except for those written by Paul, who was himself the apostle to the Gentiles. We come to church on Sunday to be reminded of heart, soul, and mind, to love God with all. So we are gathered this Parents' Weekend. What a joy to see mothers and daughters arm in arm walking on Commonwealth, fathers and sons running along together and laughing, to see those gathered for donuts and tour and choir and organ concert and later concert too. To experience that mystical interchange between one generation and another. It is a kind of sacramental weekend, year by year. It's a weekend of memory and of hope. For those of us who are longer in memory, it becomes one of those places where we recognize that time flies, time stays, we go. You know, you're reminded every now and then. Parents among us will attest you are planning to be married, and as you do, you realize there are some things you didn't expect that come along, like silverware and china and registry, and did I sign up for that? And the day, it's a day of darkness, not of light, when you move from age 29 to age 30. And also that moment when the convertible is traded in for the minivan, that's a turning. And also when you try to explain to your younger colleagues what a mimeograph machine was. Now that's archaeology. Or more lastingly, when you realize that the great reforms you hoped you might see in your own lifetime still lie a long way off and require the labors of another generation, which we are generating together here and now. How I wish I had recorded the last day I lifted my daughter and held her and hugged her, she who now has her own daughter. How I wish I had put in my journal the last day I lifted my son who has his own son. How I wish I had named the day, it passes, you don't see it, when our youngest, when I was still strong enough and he was still small enough, I lifted him and held him high, now he who can lift me. We don't see, and yet time goes. So name it a parent's weekend desire as we move to the second of the great commands, to love the neighbor as the self, to reflect and to offer a little bit of worldly wisdom to define what it means to search for your passion in love in a campus community. We'll simply give you together, actually these words fit many generations, we'll give you 6 words for finding your passion on the college campus. 1, study. Studying can be a very underrated part of the college experience. But I encourage you to train yourself, discipline yourself, flog yourself, and force yourself to work a few hours of reading and study into every day. The benefits will accrue immediately. Your grades will improve, your exams will go better, you'll have something to say in class, your parents will be proud of you, and you may graduate. My friend Les found himself on probation in his freshman year until he met Diane. They went, of all places, bowling, and they clicked. He said that Friday, "Can I see you Saturday night?" She said, "Why, sure, come. We'll study together." He thought she was kidding, but he went dressed to the nines to her dorm, and there she was in jeans and a sweatshirt and a stack of books. And for the first time, Les darkened the door of the library. And over time, he squeaked through, so much so that just before marrying Diane, he went to Princeton Seminary, where he told me half his professors asked him, "Have you been born again?" And the other half asked, "Are you in tune with the universe?" And he answered yes to both. He said he died some years ago, but he was one of our best and finest. He said, with a twinkle in his eye, "I had never realized just how big a part of college life studying can be if you let it." Let the main thing be the main thing. Walk. You know, silence is hard to find among 600 others in your dorm and their stereos and all their interests. Boston is pedestrian heaven. With a good pair of shoes and a little time, you can scour the cradle of liberty to your lasting benefit. Take a walk. One advisor, one chaplain met with a young woman who came in. She was a leader in soccer and sailing club and student council. But she said, "I'm so lonely." He said, you may want to be actually alone a little bit more. Take a walk every day. Let the imagination kindle. Let the memory come alive. Integration in learning requires meditation in life. Take a little walk every day. You'll be glad you did. No. Here is also an underrated word. Now, we're not being negative because every no is a yes. Every time you say no to something, you say yes to something else. And you will find your passion more quickly than in other areas, often where you say no, where the river of your life touches the boundary of your choice. Every river needs banks, or it becomes a floodplain and a swamp. So when you say no to drunkenness, you say yes to healthy life. When you say no to needless expenditure, you say yes to generosity. When you say no to religious discord, you say yes to a peaceful future. When you say no to flagrant abuse of the body, yours or others, you say yes to an open future of covenant and happiness. When you say no to one thing, you say yes to something else, and you can be negatively positive. Explore. In these years, you have more freedom, call it subsidized freedom, to explore than you will until retirement. Geography, history, culture are all open to you. So travel nationally and internationally. Read. You don't want to be stuck in the 21st century. That's why you came to college. Plumb the depths of Augustine and Dionysus and Amun of Nitria and all. Context is wonderful, but education requires distance from context. Travel and culture too. Geography and history and culture are all open to you. And there's one other we'll name today. Why would we not? As you grow, your conception of the divine will change. It needs to. No one has ever seen God. God is not a being among other beings. God is not a clockmaker, timekeeper, or designer. God is the ground of all being. In a similar college chapel, one preacher arrived to find a banner across the balcony that read, "God is other people." And he dispensed with his prepared remarks to preach as he said, "Only about the comma. God is other, comma, people." You have a chance to explore now. Prize your time. Now you have it. Fun. All work and no play makes Bob a dull boy, so make a list of three things you enjoy. A movie, a game, a sport, a hand of bridge, and discipline yourself to feed yourself on a regular basis. And, friend, these years allow the planting, the seed planting, for friendships that can last a whole life long. What a mystery, what a terror, what a wonder. You know the rhythms of friendship? Who begins and who ends? Who leads here and who follows there? Agreeing, disagreeing, making your first big mistake, talking about making your first big mistake. And maybe, just maybe, on the very edge, learning an experience that friendship requires a friend who is willing to risk the friendship for the sake of the friend. One woman who graduated from Smith College in 1914 corresponded every week with her roommate until they both died in autumn of 1988. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Study, walk, know, explore, fun, friend, friendship. Beloved, where is your passion? Where does your deep gladness meet the world's great need? Where is your calling, your vocation, your own most soul and self? Where is Shelley says, can you sing with him, the desire of the moth for the flame, of the night for the morrow, the devotion to something afar from the sphere of our sorrow. Cascading down through the ages, there rolls a gospel shout, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.